Welcome to the world of Mark's Money Mind, coming to you once again from Longmont, Colorado. I'm your host, Mark Troutman. This educational personal finance show combines money lessons, timely topics, personal stories, and community wisdom to help listeners and viewers master their finances to enjoy a stress-free life of financial freedom. Well, sorry for the brief hiatus from publishing episodes for a little while. I was having fun living my best retirement life. Since the last episode, I visited the Netherlands and Belgium with about 30 friends on a trip organized by Kristen Knapp of Five Friends Travel, with a bonus front-end weekend to Utrecht organized by my friends Darren and Jolien. It was a fabulous time. The total trip was about 2 weeks. Part of it was on a river cruise, which was the first time I'd ever done that. It was quite interesting. And the Netherlands and Belgium is such a great biking community. I really enjoyed that. They had bikes on the river cruise where we could just take them and ride wherever we wanted. They also had organized bike trips. And we also rented bikes both on the front end in Utrecht and on the back end in Amsterdam. So it was a really fun time. It had been about 40 years since I was last in Amsterdam, the only other time, and I was in college. So it was a fun experience this time. Really enjoyed it. Great friends, and highly recommend that part of the world. I also took a quick trip out to Las Vegas the other weekend to see my first event at the Sphere. That venue is phenomenal. It was a weekend of fish shows, and it was spectacular. The screen, the sound, everything was just perfect. I paid a lot of money for those tickets. I ended up buying them on StubHub. I did use my StubHub credit that I get with the Chase Sapphire Reserve card, so that helped a little bit. But again, the tickets were quite expensive, but well worth it. Thank you to my friends Tyler and Carl for giving me the inspiration to go. Tyler is a big fish fan, and he was going to go. And Carl had talked about going to the Sphere. I think he had already seen something there. And just they both said it was phenomenal, so I should go. And I did. And I was lucky to have met up with my nephew Will and his mom as well. And we created some more great memory dividends. So fantastic. A couple of trips since the last episode. So in this episode, I wanted to highlight a few kind of spring cleaning items that I've been working on that are related to finances. And the topics I want to cover, and I want to cover them fairly briefly, but just kind of want to bring them to everyone's attention. It's been on my plate recently. These include looking at things like your subscription services, kind of doing a financial account cleanup of credit cards, checking, savings, investment accounts, making sure beneficiary designations are the way you want it, or if you haven't done it, doing so. These include things like transfer on death or payable on death designations, or primary and contingent beneficiaries for retirement accounts, for example. A little bit on estate planning documents, wills, powers of attorney, medical power of attorney, medical directives. I want to touch a little bit on trust accounts just briefly. And lastly, think a little bit more about automation. So let's dive right in. So subscription services. Well, I've been looking at mine. I do track all of my expenses. I track them in Quicken so I can kind of put my fingers on things pretty quickly. The monthly ones are pretty easy to identify. They're usually coming through on a credit card statement of some type, and I'm seeing them 12 times a year. So they're pretty front of mind. The annual ones are the ones that kind of slip to the wayside because you only see them once a year. And then when they come up, you're like, should I, shouldn't I? So let's talk a little bit about those. And I'll tell you a little bit about what I've been doing. So let's start with video streaming. Netflix, I have that subscription. I've decided to keep it. I've been watching a little bit more of it. During this review period, I've asked myself, am I watching enough Netflix to really justify the monthly cost? And I wasn't. So I'd said, either you start watching it or you cancel it. So I decided, well, let's see what's on. And actually, I've been finding some really interesting shows, some documentaries, and there was one recently that I watched that was pretty cool. It was about a billionaire lady in France and how her daughter had to kind of step in. Anyway, it was like a four-part series, so that was kind of cool. And I've just been making a point of watching a little bit more and deciding, do I want to keep this subscription? I also bought a new TV, so I think that helps. It's a much nicer TV than I've had before, so I think that makes the experience that much better. The next one is Apple TV. I actually get this through my Chase Sapphire Reserve card. It's a kind of a benefit, and I've been making use of it. And I'm a huge Formula One fan, and Formula One is now on Apple TV. So that is a no-brainer. First of all, it doesn't cost me anything if I have that card. And secondly, I do watch Formula One. And actually, I was able to save some money because I used to pay for Formula One subscription directly to Formula One. And now I don't have to do that because it's part of Apple TV. I also have Paramount Plus, and that's another benefit that I get as a result of having Walmart Plus. It's combined with Walmart Plus, and I get Walmart Plus through my Amex Platinum card. So it's kind of a free benefit. So I've been watching a little bit on there, but I don't think I would pay for it if I had to pay for it. I also used to have Disney and Hulu. I have subsequently canceled those. I canceled those a while ago, and I have not decided to renew that. I don't have any small children in the house, so you know Disney is not as interesting to me. And I wasn't watching Hulu, so I don't have that service anymore. Let's jump to music streaming. So my streaming service of choice typically was Amazon Music. I still have that subscription, but now that through my Apple TV subscription, I get Apple Music as well. So I've been using that more. And my Amazon Music, I paid for as an annual subscription. So when that comes up for renewal later in the year, I think I'm going to cancel that one. I also have Sirius XM in my car. I bought a new car a couple of years ago, 2 years ago, and it came with the car for a year. And then I let it lapse. And then they gave me, you know, they keep coming back. Do you want to renew it? Do you want to renew it? No, 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 no. And finally, it went down to a price of, I think, $7 a month. So I decided, yeah, sure, for $7 a month, I'll do it. And it also gives you access to streaming on your phone, which I connect to my stereo, my house. And so that's good. I like it. I don't know how much I would pay for it, though. I will pay $7, but I'm not sure I would pay the full price of, I think it's like $16 or $18 a month. I'm not sure I would pay that. I just got an offer for adding a second car, which I don't have. Well, I do have, but I don't have the ability to have Sirius in it. And for $8 a month, if I renew. So I'm kind of thinking maybe I'll renew it at that to lock in my effectively what is now $7 would be $8 for another year because my service is going to lapse or go to the full price in about a month. So maybe I'll take them up on that because for $7 or $8 a month, I'd do it. I don't have Spotify, so that's something I don't have and don't look to add. Another subscription service, I guess you would say, is Amazon Prime, and that allows me to get any package for free, expedited shipping, I think you get. I pay for that. It also comes with the video streaming Amazon Prime, which I kind of use, but I use it primarily, Amazon Prime, for the delivery purposes and so forth. I also have the Amazon Prime Visa card. And that card, it's a no annual fee card, gives me 5% off all of my Amazon purchases, provided that it's linked to the account, which it is. That's the only thing I use that card for. So I order enough on Amazon that the 5% discount I receive on all of my Amazon purchases effectively pays for Amazon Prime. And you have to have Amazon Prime in order to utilize that card. So they kind of go hand in hand. So I'm going to keep those. Like I said, I have Walmart Plus. I actually just use that a little bit. So I do scan and go when I'm in the store. And I think you have to have Walmart Plus to do that, which I like. But I also did order a product recently that was under the normal shipping amount. But because I had Walmart Plus, it came like the same day. It was crazy. So that was kind of my first real use of Walmart Plus. But again, it's a free subscription that I receive through my Amex Platinum card. So I like that. I do have two wholesale memberships. I have both Costco and Sam's Club, and I'll explain why. So Costco, I actually have the executive membership, which I think gives you, a dividend of 2% every year. So they give you a check that you can use in the store at the end of each annual subscription period. And I like that. I like Costco. I like their clothes, surprisingly. I did buy my TV there, for example. And they give you a extra 5-year warranty, which is great. So I do find Costco really good for some of those higher-end items, I guess you would say. Sam's Club is a lot closer to my house. It's literally like a 3-minute drive or 10-minute bike ride. And I use Sam's Club a lot for food. I find it very good, very convenient. And I think I paid $50 a year for my Sam's Club membership. It's the base membership. And I find it worthwhile. So I have both. I decided to keep both for their reasons. Some people might argue that's overkill, but I've chosen to do both. The other subscription services I have include things for security, like a password manager, malware, and virus protection, and I'm certainly going to keep those for sure. And the last one is travel-related subscription services. So I'd mentioned on the last episode about 10X Travel. They've now just come out with a subscription version of that. I've decided to sign up for it because if you signed up for this new service they have, they will guarantee that your price will never increase. So I decided, well, let me give it a shot. I'll see how it goes. So far, so good. So I've decided to do that. I also do pay for Point.me, which is a award search tool. I think I'm going to let that one lapse when it comes up for renewal because I've been using PointsYeah.com and I kind of like that one better. So I think if I'm going to pay for one of those services, I think I would pay for PointsYeah, and I'm also analyzing Award Tool. So that's another one. So I will likely pay for one of those services, one of those three, but not all three. So we'll see. So that's subscription services. I'm sure there's some others I'm forgetting, but that's kind of my inventory of those and my analysis. And I think it's very good to call through at least once a year. I've decided to use kind of spring cleaning as the reason for doing this. And I think it's worthwhile for you to make sure you're not subscribing to things that you don't need or paying more than you need to for certain items. So definitely a good spring cleaning exercise. Now let's move to financial accounts. We've talked about credit cards in many previous episodes, so I'm not going to go into too much detail there, but you definitely want to review those annual fees when they come up, make sure you're getting the benefits of that card and determining if they're worth it. You can check out episode 61 for a deeper dive into credit cards. So I'm just going to leave it there, but just definitely make sure that any cards that you're paying with an annual fee makes sense and you're getting the benefits you deserve. The next one is checking accounts. So this came up recently because I got a note. I have an account at Wells Fargo. I like to have a bank account somewhere that has a brick and mortar branch. And there's one that happens to be really close to me. I've had a Wells Fargo account for a long time. I know a lot of people hate Wells Fargo and I understand why, but I do have an account there and I've decided to keep it, but I keep it for very minimal uses. One is just to be able to go and do any kind of transaction in a bank itself. If I needed a notary, I think I have the ability to do that, or a cashier's check. That's pretty rare, but if I did need it, I could go there. And then the other thing is any cash transactions. So I can actually get foreign exchange through there. So sometimes I'll get a little foreign exchange currency before I go on a trip, and it's pretty easy to just to go there. It's not usually the absolute best rate, but it's good to have just a little bit of foreign currency when you land somewhere. So I like to do that. But I did receive a note recently saying that I was going to be charged a monthly fee on my account if I didn't keep, I think it was $1,500 minimum in the account every month, which is not too hard to do, but it's a little annoying, or had a certain amount of monthly direct deposits. And I don't have a paycheck. If I had a paycheck, it'd be pretty easy, right? Just do a little bit of my paycheck into there and be done. But a transfer from a brokerage account does work. So I do have a Fidelity cash management account that I've talked about before. So I basically just set up an automated deposit from that account every month to satisfy the requirement, which I think was $500 a month. So not too hard. And then I don't have to worry about the minimum. But keep an eye out for any bank accounts that are raising their fees. I think Chase might have done this as well. So some of the major banks are upping their minimum requirements, and just make sure you're not paying monthly fees. And if you are, there's a way around it usually. And make sure you're taking advantage of that. And when we get to automation, this is the easiest way to do it, is just automate whatever you need to do to avoid that monthly fee. So that's what I've done. You can also consider just moving the account. There are cash management accounts. Like I mentioned, I have a Fidelity cash management account. I think Vanguard has one as well, though I don't think it's really a checking account. I know Schwab has one. Or many of the online savings banks have checking accounts, free checking accounts. So that would be another alternative. You could just get rid of the brick and mortar bank to begin with. savings accounts. They were kind of all the rage a couple of years ago when rates were much lower and people were kind of chasing yield for a while. And the money market rates at your brokerage accounts weren't that great, but the interest rates at the online banks, savings banks, were pretty good. And I know a lot of people kind of accumulated a number of savings accounts, me included, during that period. So now it's time to go through those and make sure, do I really need them all? I've been closing a few. I'm going to try to get down to one. And I've also, and we'll get to this in the estate planning and trust a little bit, but I also wanted to retitle the savings account I'm going to keep to the trust. And I found out that not all online savings accounts will allow you to do that. So I had to pick one of the ones that did because I wanted to retitle that into the trust, and I'll explain that a little bit later. And then investment accounts. Maybe you have a number of investment accounts that are kind of all over the place, multiple custodians, or maybe you have an employer 401k at an old employer. Maybe it's time to really review those and decide to consolidate, maybe even down to just one custodian. And maybe rolling over those 401ks into a rollover IRA. And I've talked about a number of the big ones, but you've got Fidelity, Schwab, and Vanguard. I kind of like Fidelity these days. I prefer the investment options that are available at Vanguard, but I like the user interface at Fidelity. So again, your choice, but definitely look to consolidate those investment accounts down to one custodian, one login. And so you can have everything in one place. And trust me, your beneficiaries will appreciate that. And let's talk about beneficiaries a little bit. So there's kind of two types of beneficiary designations. There's the typical beneficiary you see on your retirement account, 401k, IRA, and so forth. But there's also beneficiary designations, I guess you would say, that you can put on regular accounts. And these are called transfer on death or payable on death. They're kind of interchangeable. And those are available on most taxable accounts, including checking accounts, savings accounts, brokerage accounts. So check to see if your checking, savings, brokerage accounts allow for it. Most do. And you can effectively name a beneficiary on that account. So it won't go through probate. But if you don't proactively do this, it's going to go to your estate at death. And it's a lot easier if you use these transfer on death and payable on death designations to have that account move once you are at end of plan to another individual without it having to go through the whole probate estate process. So super simple to do. And like I said, most banks and online banks and brokerage firms allow you to add those. And if you've already done that, make sure you review them to determine if they need to be updated for any life-changing circumstances, for instance. And also, I've noticed that in some cases, you could only designate one individual or one primary person, but now I'm seeing that you can also name contingencies at some institutions. So go in there, make sure you've done it. And secondly, if you have, see if there's the ability to add a contingent beneficiary in case that primary beneficiary is no longer able to accept it, or the primary beneficiary decides to decline it, then it would go to the contingent beneficiary. And of course, make sure your beneficiary designations for your retirement accounts are all as they should be, according to your wishes. And again, make sure you're using those primary beneficiary designations and contingent beneficiary designations. And the other thing you should make sure you do, in my opinion at least, and I'm not a lawyer, so you know, take it for what you want, but it's best to designate individuals rather than, quote, your estate, which is often a drop-down option on beneficiary designation forms or online. And the reason is because if you designate your estate as the beneficiary, that means it's going to go through probate. You're much better off designating individuals to the appropriate percentages. And then what would happen is that account would be divided among the multiple beneficiaries, if you have multiple ones, and it would then go directly to them and avoid probate. So that's why you don't really want to designate your estate as the beneficiary. And again, this is not legal advice, but I would also avoid naming a traditional IRA or 401k to a trust as a beneficiary because it can be a tax trap. So definitely look into that. And maybe I'll have to do a future episode on that. So I've really been thinking carefully. I've been warned about that myself from my attorney and my planner. I actually had a planner look over my financial plan, and they said the same thing. And however, a Roth account is okay because it doesn't have as many tax consequences. But again, seek legal advice, financial advice, and make sure you're doing the right thing there for your situation. Now let's jump to estate planning documents. I'm not going to get into detail here, but just make sure you have them. If you don't, put it on your to-do list, get it done. And if you do, it's good to review them. See who the beneficiary designations are. Make sure the person you designated to look after your minor children is who you want it to be and that there are contingencies in that case. Make sure your executor is the person you want it to be and your successor, executor, and so forth. Those documents would include the basic ones are your last will and testament, a durable power of attorney, which is for your financial affairs, an advanced directive, healthcare proxy, living will for your healthcare needs, and a living trust is always optional. I'll talk a little bit about living trust in a moment. I do have one. But make sure these documents are in place and if they need to be updated, like I said. Also, do the appropriate individuals, your executors, healthcare proxies, etc., know how to find them if they become necessary? And inform them. Don't just name an executor and don't let them know that because maybe they don't want to do it. Or maybe they have reasons that they feel like they're not suitable to be in that position. So you definitely want to have a discussion with those executors to make sure they're on board to doing it. I do want to touch on living trusts. I do have one. I found it beneficial for a handful of reasons. I'm not going to go into them all here. But the key thing here with a living trust is to make sure you title the appropriate assets to the trust. A lot of people will go to an estate planning attorney, they'll get all these documents done. They may decide, oh, a living trust sounds like, oh, I should have one of those. And then they have it and sits there and they don't do anything with it. You need to actively title assets to the trust. What do I mean by that? For instance, instead of your brokerage account being in your name, it would be in the name of the trust, for example. Same for checking accounts, savings accounts, investment accounts, like I said. Your home should be retitled to the trust if you have a trust. That's the whole purpose of having the trust. The purpose is to avoid probate. It also continues after you decease. If you are incapacitated, there are things in the trust so that someone can manage your affairs for you before having to go to the court and use a power of attorney and so forth. So they make life a little bit easier after it's all done. There's a little work on the front end to set them up and to fund them, like I said, making sure everything's titled. And you can even title your automobiles to your trust, although I decided not to do that. And because in Colorado, I can do what's called a beneficiary deed. So effectively, I fill out this form, have it notarized, and attach it to the title. So if something were to happen to me, in my case, my daughter would be able to take the title of my vehicle to the Department of Motor Vehicles, and they would see that it has this beneficiary deed that's been notarized, and they would basically just retitle the car to her. So I decided to do that instead of retitling it because that would require new plates and some fees and so forth. And they said it's really just easier to have the beneficiary deed. And hopefully, I'll live long enough that car may not even be around at that point. So for automobiles, there is an alternative. It does also work for houses, but if you have a trust, I think it's better to name the trust. Again, not a lawyer. Check it out yourself, but that's what I've done. I've named my trust as the owner of my house, effectively. And the last thing is just automation. I'm a huge fan of automation for multiple reasons. One is it makes life so much easier, reduces friction. It allows you to meet all of your goals that you've set out for yourself. And it's kind of like you can sit back and just watch everything move around and monitor it as opposed to actively having to pay all those bills or pay the credit cards and make sure you pay them on time and in full to avoid the interest. So I automate everything. And it's a good time during the spring cleaning session to make sure all of your automated transactions are the way you want it. Maybe you might decide to up your contributions to your investment account or retirement account, or any savings goals you have. Make sure your savings accounts are the way you want them and those automatic contributions are going in as you want. For me, I'm always making sure that my cash management account is paying my credit cards in full, on time, without question, so there's no interest. And obviously, it helps my credit score if my payments are always made on time, right? So review all of your automated activity and make sure it's as you desire. So hopefully this was a fun little exercise, a little spring cleaning. It's nice and warm out here. The sun is out. We actually had some snow recently in the last week. It was crazy. We had this snowstorm and I had already turned on my sprinklers, so I was worried about them freezing, but it all worked out because it wasn't really that cold. But we did get some snow and much needed moisture. We've had such a dry spell here in Colorado, and so we got some nice moisture. And then it's actually rained a couple of days, which is kind of interesting here for Colorado. So I'm glad about that. So hopefully we won't have any water issues, but that remains to be seen. So now it's super warm out there. I'm actually going to go out for a walk right now. I hope you found this inspiring to go through your financial activities and do a little spring cleaning, a little spring exercise, a little sweeping here and there. And I will catch you on the next episode. Have a great spring. Thank you for listening to this week's show. Please click follow on your favorite podcast player or subscribe on YouTube to ensure you don't miss any future episodes. Also, please leave a rating and review for the show. This helps improve the ranking and enables other like-minded people find the content in their podcast players. I would also appreciate it if you would recommend the show to friends and family that might benefit from this content. See you next time on the Mark's Money Mind Show. Until then, make some, save and invest, live on the rest. Now for the all-important disclaimer. This show is for education and entertainment purposes only and should not be considered investment, tax, or legal advice. Please consult the appropriate advisor or advisors before implementing anything you hear on this show or any other show for that matter. While I fully intend for everything on this show to be true and accurate at the time of each recording, occasionally errors may occur. So please do your own due diligence on anything discussed.